Welcome to the Focal Points Podcast. I'm so glad that you are here today with my conversation with Juliet LaFaro. Juliet LaFaro lived a dream that most of us ascribe to, being a big-time photographer in New York City. After attending the Tisch School, she created a business for herself. But due to family responsibilities and a pull from her heart, she moved outside the city to stop working with entertainers and create a family business in basically what I'm calling small town USA. This is a really great conversation for those of you who are maybe thinking of switching your business, moving to a different area, and discovering how one photographer handled all of this. We talk about everything from family to portfolios to the importance of marketing in a new industry or a new town. This is something that I think everyone will relate to. So welcome to the Focal Points Podcast with my special guest, Juliet LaFaro. This is Focal Points, hosted by Dori Howell and brought to you courtesy of Enphoto. Let's go ahead and get started. Well, welcome to the Focal Points Podcast brought to you by Enphoto. I am so excited today because we have my fellow photographer, Juliet LaFaro. And Juliet is with us today from New York, and she has had a very different journey into photography than a lot of normal family photographers have. You know, I followed the typical like momtographer journey where it was like, oh, I had a baby, then I got a camera, then I was good with it, and people started hiring me and that type of thing. And that is not how Juliet got into this at all. So first of all, Juliet, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dori. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah. And so can you take just a couple minutes and give me a little bit of a background and our audience, a little bit of a background of how you actually got started and got bitten by the photography bug?
I have to say officially when I was 14 in ninth grade, being okay. The section of the yearbook for the freshman class I was in charge of, and we needed more candids. And okay. A wonderful teacher, Mr. White, was like, get out there and take some pictures. And it was just super fun to be documenting my friends. And I got to use the darkroom at high school at the school. He had a poster with all the directions. So I didn't even take a class. I just followed all the directions and loved being in the darkroom and loved the pictures of my friends. And then when it came time to college, when it came time for college, I went to NYU and did Tisch School of the Arts, and they had a little fine arts photography program that was only about 100 kids in a big university. And it was just a wonderful experience, really learning history and the fine art part of it. And, and I was always getting great feedback from my dad, who was a kind of a maverick in the film industry and TV commercial world. And you know, it's one of those things, like your dad thinks it's really good and he's very, doesn't give out too many compliments. So that really gave me confidence to move forward.
I think also when it comes to your parents, there's a fine line between respect that you have from your parents of knowing if you're a typical teenager and you just don't believe anything they say. But if your parent is really good at something, then you actually respect their opinion. And it sounds like you had, I have a 16-year-old daughter, so I'm speaking like I'm in the weeds with it right now with knowing like what she respects me for and what she doesn't respect me for and what she'll listen to and what she'll kind of roll her eyes at. And so I'm imagining much the same is the fact that my daughter absolutely respects my photography. She doesn't necessarily respect my mental health advice. So, you know, there's all those different.
Yeah, this is the same thing.
So, but on your website, it says you're a third generation photographer or third generation. So was there someone before your dad in your family that was actually part of this, I don't want to say industry, but part of this plane?
Not really professionally, but there was a lot of documentation. So on my hard drives, I've got, you know, family portraits back to the 1930s and 40s. And
I love it.
They just always were taking pictures.
Okay. That's great. So the first part of your career that I kind of wanted to just talk about really briefly was the fact that you started out, it sounds like you were at the Tisch School in New York City, and you started doing more like celebrity headshots and that type of thing. How did that work when you were moving from college into actual career in that space?
It was like, I just kind of didn't have a plan, but I had a lot of friends who were musicians and actors. So it just was natural to be doing their headshots, taking pictures, band photos, and just doing whatever came along, really. And I would work as an assistant in, on catalogs. I didn't care. As long as I was around photography, it was great. There were some really great still life photographers who, you know, I learned things from those art directors that I still use today, like where the placement of a head is with the, you know, some hard line in the background. Let's make sure it clears that spot. Really translated from where a teacup fits on a flat lay, you know?
Okay. I love it. Tell me about your first real paying job.
I guess it would be when I was my first real, well, I would say doing the production stills. I was still in college, and there was a multi-million dollar McDonald's commercial. And my dad had a British director, and it was on a soundstage in LA. So it was like the full experience. There was like a big forest and the full experience of like being in Hollywood, working on a film set. It was just everything about it was amazing.
Okay. Now, I grew up in Los Angeles, and I wasn't like connected directly to the entertainment industry, but I think everyone kind of understands and has a baseline of how production works when you grow up in that, you know, near Hollywood, right? And you have so many people in the industry. One of my very best friends from high school is one of the people at the Academy and, you know, all those types of things. So you hear these glimpses and pieces. But for our people who don't know, what are production stills?
So when you see the credits of a movie, the production still photographer is in the publicity department. But you're spending the whole time hanging out with the camera crew. So it's like, it's amazing. You're learning so much from them. And so what you want to do at the time, I frankly don't know exactly how, it probably is similar because it's a union, but you have like a silent camera, like a blimp around the camera, and you would just be trying to match exactly what the camera's getting for them to use for publicity later on. Okay. So you're really close to the action. One of the things with me was that my dad was an agent for film directors, and he really pushed my portraiture. So he wanted to make sure that I was getting portraits of his directors at work so he could, you know, use them for publicity to keep them top of mind for his production company or his repping agency.
Right. Okay. So you weren't necessarily focusing on the actors as much as you were like the behind the scenes and getting the important players behind the scenes.
I mean, it actually was like a layer of like what else I also had to do. So I did have to do the main job, but the portraits were key as well.
Right. So back then, and it might be the same now, but back then when they were doing the film, they couldn't necessarily splice a picture out of the film and use it as a promotional picture. They had to have the production still photographer taking those pictures because they couldn't be used. The film couldn't be used for the same purpose. Now, because of digital, they probably can do that. But I do know that there are also still production photographers behind the scenes snapping pictures as well. So it's just interesting how technology has changed all that. So you started doing most of your work on film, right?
Yes.
Now, do you still use film today or have you gone over to digital?
Hardly at all. I was very resistant when it changed.
You were, okay.
At the time, it was like 2002 to 2007. I had a studio in Manhattan that was pretty much exclusively actors and authors. Because at that time, those were the people who needed headshots.
Sure.
And it started going, when digital came up, the Los Angeles was first making color headshots. And it was just like, you know, I was kicking and screaming. I was shooting film. I was scanning. I was like anything I could to resist it. But then when I had my first baby, 2005, and I had three or four or five rolls of baby toes, my husband was like, maybe it's time to go digital.
maybe we don't need to be investing in so many films for baby toes and fingers and ears and eyelashes, right? Because they're the most adorable thing ever. And you want to take a million pictures of them, but what are you going to do with all that? My daughter was born in 2007, and I can definitely relate. And my switch, I remember when my husband and I got married, which was 20 years ago, he had purchased one of the first point and shoot, digital point and shoot cameras, which was 1.3 megapixels. And we thought we were just the most technologically advanced people ever. And then, you know, obviously that's kind of a joke, but that's how it started for consumers and a lot for photographers as well. You know, those basic cameras. And just like we see people, I'm one of the people kicking and screaming, going mirrorless.
Oh, I did it.
And I know I'm going to have, did you, do you love it?
I do. I really do. I mean, I also don't need a gigantic camera. I kind of like the compactness of it. Like I know I have some commercial photographer friends who are like, they just want like a big beast in their hands. It makes them feel like they're, you know, but I'm perfectly happy with a little camera that does a good job.
A small camera. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do it. We finally like figured it out. I'm going to do it when they, at the first quarter of every year, the camera companies kind of make their big releases and see. So we're going to wait just 2 or 3 more months, which I can't believe, but that's only 2 or 3 more months from now, that it's going to be 2024. But we're going to wait and see what they announce and to see whether we'll stick with what's out now or if we'll invest in some of the new releases coming out. But I'm one of those people where I like my workflow a certain way. It works for me. It works for my business. Mm-hmm. And so whenever anything comes out that is really like, that's going to make me learn different things, I'm not always the most receptive to it.
You have enough of those hurdles that you start to be like, okay, this is the wave of the future and I'm going to get on board with it.
Right. And everyone's told me like, Dory, like they say like, Dory, I can't believe you haven't done this yet. You need to do this. You need to do it. And I believe them. But since we're on the cusp of the new stuff being announced, I'm like, okay, I've dealt with this long. I can wait 2 more months, but I know that it's going to change my life when I make that change. I'm good.
Yeah. Well, my last DSLR was actually, I was in shoots having a lot of trouble with focus.
Oh, yeah.
And so I started overshooting and losing confidence. And I was like, you know what? This isn't worth it. It's time.
100%. Yeah. If I was having those kind of issues, they would have been out the door. And I did have those kind of issues back when I was starting to do corporate headshots. I went on a shoot and I just had like the alien bees and I couldn't, they failed me on a shoot. 100% failed me. And I didn't even, I literally went from that shoot to the camera store, bought my pro photo set, and my alien bees were like up on Facebook, like within 2 hours of me getting home. I just wasn't going to mess with it anymore. They failed me on a shoot. They failed me in front of a client. It was cheap equipment to begin with. It would have done the job had it worked, but I'm like, no, we're not messing with that anymore. And I just went straight to the top with Profoto and I haven't looked back. I love my lighting equipment. So I have a feeling that I'm going to feel the same way as soon as I get that new camera in my hand. And if it was failing me on shoots, I would absolutely have done it sooner.
Right. That made it an easy decision for me.
Right. Absolutely. I totally understand that. So you were working in New York and you were working on, in situations with the entertainment industry, but you're not doing that anymore. So where did the change come from moving out of the city up to upstate New York? How did that happen?
Well, it was a bit of a journey. It was having a baby and being like, okay, what's next? And then getting out of the city. And we came to Woodstock and then Albany and then Austin, Texas, and a second baby. And so I was actually home a lot and not really focused on the business so much. And then I got divorced and I came back home to Woodstock, New York. And it was a reinvention. You know, it was one of those things, even in a therapy office being like, okay, how fast is this transformation going to happen? I've read enough of these books. I'm ready for a new life. Right. And I didn't really have a solid plan. I was like, I hope I'm not going to be one of the rural jack of all trades and I'd like to focus on something. And I didn't really know where it would take me. But the first 2 years was mostly just the people in my life already. And then I have one school, private school that I do pictures for and the families would call. One of my favorite things about the years around the pandemic were doing elopements.
And
since I don't market for weddings, they always end up being like my people because they liked my portraits. And And then a few years ago, I actually did circle back to actors, and it's been amazing. Yeah. So I do a little bit of everything.
You do. Yeah. And you can tell that on your website that you have your fingers in a lot of pies, except maybe events, but any type of portraiture, right, from headshots to families to professionals to branding, anything like that, you can do a really great job. And I actually encourage anyone who's listening to this, if you want to check out some beautiful work, Juliet has some beautiful work on her website that you should take a look at, and also has a gallery that features some of her older work as well, which is really, I enjoyed looking through that gallery as well. So how has life been different moving from, I'll just say, the big city, which is a real like kind of cliche term, but how has it been moving from the big city into a small studio space in Woodstock, New York? Woodstock is, I don't think, would be considered like a, is it considered a small town?
I think so.
I mean, you are on Main Street.
It's called Mill Hill Road, and it's also Tinker Street. We don't, right. But it is the main street. That's why I wrote that. But it's 2 hours outside of Manhattan. So there's a lot of people with second homes. Mm-hmm. There's kind of dwindling family population, but it's becoming, it's always been touristy.
Yeah.
Because it started as an art colony.
Yeah.
And,
well, there was some big event there a few years ago that has always been kind of romanticized.
The Woodstock Festival used the name, but it was, 90 minutes from here. But
sure.
You have to really work. I feel like in the city, it's easier to just put your name out there and get phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And here you do have to really work on like what your brand is, who your clients are.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to your podcast about your ideal client conversation, mm-hmm, which is so interesting, because where I was the first time I heard that conversation around getting an ideal client, I could find people from my past and be like, she was an, the people who would call again or do the referrals or, so for me, mostly it's really, I do a lot of socially networking. Like I go to all the chamber things and I do the women's meetups, and I even started my own very casual coffee here in town,
mm-hmm,
first Tuesdays, to have just the women who are sitting at their computers,
yeah,
making things happen, to either come and share what they're up to, ask advice. It's very, you really know everybody, and if somebody calls me who I don't know, I'm definitely curious about how they found me.
Right. I would think I can absolutely appreciate the fact that when you're in a large city, that you're not going to have the connection with everyone that you work with. And you may not have to go out and do some of the things that you hear people telling you to do, because you're there and you know more people, and you don't, like, I'm used to working with strangers. I work outside of Washington, D.C. That's how it is all the time. But if I worked in a smaller location, I think I would have to work harder about just connecting with people. And that's the thing that holds people back, I think. What do you think has made it easier for you to go out and make those connections and really get involved and get to know the people in your community?
Well, when it's specifically, let's say our county has a very active chamber of commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking at first. But then you have to remember everybody else is there for the same thing.
Right.
They do want to hear what you're up to, and they do want to. And so I have a couple of girlfriends, and we love to go to them together, because I'll say, this is my friend Nicole. She has a glamping company. And then it's just really more fun.
Yeah, I love that. It's like having a wingman when you're dating. Like,
totally.
Having someone else there to sell you. And you can sell them, for lack of a better word, using the word sell. But having someone there is just being like, yeah, she's really good at what she does. You should look her up. Like, seriously.
Yep. Yeah.
Because if you say that about yourself, it can come across as blatant self-promotion, and nobody likes that.
Right. And I have photographed the one friend I was just mentioning. I have photographed her.
Yeah.
And I have also rented her glamp tents. So I can also speak to how amazing the experience is.
Right. Right.
So that's kind of a fun part of it.
Yeah.
And like another thing I love doing is throwing parties. And I had a bigger studio across the river, and I didn't know what to do, but through women in business group, I met this woman who was a party planner, and she and I talked, and she loved the idea for her you know, to talk about on social media and for her to just have another, you know, another kind of thing. So we had a studio opening, and it was family portraits and it was headshots. And it was like, you know, part of me is like a little tongue in cheek about it. Like, this is funny because it really looks like a big, you know, art photo show, but it's my, you know, the regular work, my bread and butter money.
But yeah.
Made prints and hung them. There was picture molding. So I just hung it with string. And so there's prints just hanging on the wall, and you know, just people love that too. I mean, I always like to, you know, keep prints in people's faces. And so that was another way for people to like see and touch them. And so, you know, I just kind of stick to what I know and just, and, you know, give it a little twist to put myself out there. Cause it's not easy.
No, it isn't easy. I think that's the biggest disservice is that when people start their businesses and their friends and family are super supportive of them, and it looks like it's going to be something that really takes off. And for the first six months, everybody, they're really busy because they're new. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, I actually need to work on this networking thing. I actually work on this marketing thing. And it's such a different feeling, and emotions come up, and it's so, like, all of these things just come together when you realize, oh my gosh, I'm actually going to have to go and put myself out there so people see what I do. They're not just going to come flocking to me because I put up an Instagram page. Like, that's just not how it works after a while. And I don't know too many people who it works like that all the time. You know, very rarely does that happen.
I mean, that kind of brings me to the personal project aspect of my life.
Yeah.
Which is, when I first got here, this year of 2015, I was curious. Like, I wanted to just come straight home. And I lived a few places that kind of, I was curious, why do people choose this as their home? Why did they choose it? Mm-hmm. Did they end up here? And I started literally knocking on doors of the people who had the stores in town, and started Woodstock Townspeople, just to have a project, but also to have regular portraiture that I'm shooting my way.
Yes.
And it was, and so that was, and then I've even had years when I haven't been like focused on that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wonder what I would forget. Oh no, that's exactly why I created this project. And so I can have fresh work and put it out there, whether I'm getting hired or not, you know, like, it's so silly. Right. Like, yeah, I'll forget sometimes, but not anymore, because I have it really back on the front burner.
You don't. Yeah. So is this just the personal project? Is this just kind of an ongoing thing that you pull out when you need to, and you meet people when you want to, but it's not something that you have a specific deadline for?
Well, I'm thinking 2025, because that'll be 10 years. Okay. And then another friend of mine was like, well, what's the goal here? You know, is it just a blog? And through that conversation, I was kind of encouraged to decide to make it a book and say it out loud. And
I love
so
it.
That gives me more of a framework so I can be more consistent with it and get it back out there. So now I have like a dozen that are half done. And so I figured January I'll start putting them out again.
Yeah. Well, you have a decade worth of work there of people in a community that is probably very close knit. And what a way to celebrate that. People will love that. That's awesome.
And also changing. Like, some of us are like, who is that? There's a new business in town. Who's,
sure.
You know, and I want to know, why'd you come here? What, you know, yeah, all those questions.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's wonderful. Now, will you sell the book?
I mean, I guess that would be the plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
sell, market, do the whole thing.
Do the whole thing for the book.
And for the people. It's scary because it's like, okay, am I going to do this? Yeah. Let me. Say it out loud and make it happen.
Put it out there.
Because people love it when I post, and then they share it. And you know, some of them are beloved community members, and some of them are just new people.
Mm-hmm. And what a great thing to be able to do something like that, and it's not focused on you. Like, it's a gift to the community that people are going to flock to. It's the story of the community and the people in the community, because you'll have a decade worth of work there, but ultimately it's going to reflect on you and your love for that community that will hopefully do great things for your business as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, that they always end up being love notes. It's true.
Yeah. That's I love that. I love marketing in that way. You know, I don't have a personal project like that, but I do have a personal passion that I act on. And I am the sponsorship director for my daughter's high school athletic program, meaning I go out and I talk to small businesses all the time about how they can support the local schools and support the athletes that are students in those schools. And a lot of people give that a bad rap because, like, oh, well, you know, the athletes get all the money. Well, it's not about, to me, it's not about the athletic programs. It's about the kids themselves and getting them scholarships to college and getting them the resources that they need to go out and further their career, whether that be in athletics or not. It's not just about the fact that, yeah, a lot of people came to the football games because they had a great season. It's because those kids are doing something fun now, but it's that platform is going to be able to propel them into something else. And so it's, to me, it's more of a community and personal project versus just raising money. It definitely comes from
like a booster club.
Yeah, it's a booster. It's a booster thing. But we have one of the biggest ones in the county and we deal with lots of businesses. And I ultimately, you know, for different purposes, I got involved in this because, like, I want to meet business owners because that's who I want to photograph. I want to photograph businesses and owners and their staff and that type of thing. So I'm like, where can I plug in and do something from the heart? Because ultimately it is from the heart. But also maybe get some business out of it too. And I don't think that is a horrible way to look at things. Because if I'm getting business, that means I'm also helping them get business. And because I am approaching it from a marketing perspective, when I deal with these companies, it's more of like, how can we use our community resources at the high school? Because we have great community resources to help you make more money in your business and give you more community exposure. And it's a different way that no one's ever really looked at it that way, but I approach it absolutely from the standpoint of you make more money, the kids, the boosters make more money for the kids. I make more money. Like, it's all a community effort to help everyone involved in this transaction. So it's
just when we're really in touch with providing a service to people, I think that also makes it easier to, you know, it's not just like, come hire me. It's like, this is what's in it for you.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people forget about that in their marketing is that us being in business when it comes to our marketing shouldn't be about us. It's about what you can do and how you can serve other people. And if you approach it from a service perspective versus just hire me and pay me some money for some pretty pictures, you'll get further. It might take a little longer. I will say this, it's not always easy to do it this way. You need to have a little bit more of a strategy, but ultimately it will be more long-lasting, positive impact on everybody when you're going through this process. Well, I'm excited to hear about your book. There's one other question that I really wanted to ask you because I honed on this on your website, and we'll wrap this up in a minute. We've been here a little longer than normal, but I appreciate your patience with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So you have something really interesting on your website when you're dealing with celebrities and performers that they are trained to bring out their emotions, their psyche and everything very quickly. And as someone who was a performer in a previous life, went to classical music school, was on the stage all the time. Yes, we bring up our emotions. We bring out our personalities very, very quickly. And you say on your website that it's your job to bring that out in your clients. So what is the difference between dealing with performers and just regular people in bringing out the expressions and the emotions that you want in their portraits?
Well, when you have a great model or even actor in front of the camera, you just sit there and click the shutter because they know they're very in touch with the expression and the pose and how they look. And, you know, they're aware of where the light is. And, you know, when you have a person who isn't a model or an actor, they need direction. And so you just have to have all the confidence in the world to, like, you know, I mean, for me, I know whatever's going on in my life is left at the door. And then I'm with the person and I'm often, you know, interacting with them in a way that, you know, when you do any work ahead of time to get to know them. I mean, I don't do a lot, but I know the basics. And so it's just, you want to tap into that charisma. And, you know, with headshots or any somebody's business pictures, it's, you know, they're in the studio, they may be kicking and screaming and because they love their headshot from 5 or 10 years ago, but you know, it's some exciting reason that they showed up, right? They actually have like a new website or something exciting going on. So I'm all about that. And, you know, just kind of treating them like the star that they are, because why not?
Why not? Right.
Yeah. So it's just that kind of, for me, it's that kind of confidence about how I'm lighting them. Even how I move around the studio, if something's not working, I'm never going to say it, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, never say
this.
It.
This might be a little cooler. Let me do this and just keep the flow going so that they feel completely taken care of. And that kind of brings it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I never tell someone that something's not working. It's like, oh, we're going to try this now. We're going to try this now. Oh, this looks great. You know, just keeping them feeling good about themselves. The thing that you said is interesting. When people come into your studio, they're usually excited about something new or wanting to do something new with their headshot. The thing with me in the corporate headshots that I do specifically in my area, we deal with a lot of government contractors and different type of professions. People many times come into my studio because they have to. They don't want to be there. Right. They're reluctant. Sometimes they're difficult. Sometimes they give me maybe 10 minutes of their time. They're like, I don't even want to be here. I don't need a new headshot. The one I have is fine. Like, yeah, the one you have was taken at a picnic 10 years ago. Can we do something a little bit better? Because they don't always see the value of right. putting a great headshot out there. And that's part of my marketing message is like, I am a really great headshot photographer for the reluctant subject, for the person who doesn't necessarily want to be there. But I think like you say on your website that you're really great with people. I'm really great with people. And so my job is to bring that out in them in some way. So I love the fact that you mentioned that you learn a little bit more about them. You learn a little bit more about what they're doing and why they're there. Because I do the same thing. And I think if I can find some common string, no matter how strange it sounds, whether it's a place that we've traveled or a business venture that they're in that maybe I know a little bit about or where their kids went to school or just something to connect us, the session goes much better. And it's my job to do that. It's not their job. It's my job to make them feel comfortable in my quote unquote home, my studio. This is my home. That's right. I'm inviting them in. It's my job to make them feel comfortable. They don't have to walk in feeling comfortable, but I need to make them feel comfortable so we get the results that they want.
And Dory, I'm sure that you hear people say, oh, I'm terrible in front of the camera. Oh, there's never any good pictures of me.
All day long.
And so when people say that, I'm just like, I don't dismiss it. You know, I almost feel like sometimes I've been on the edge of dismissing it, but I kind of embrace it and say, oh, that's okay. That's my specialty. It's okay. You know?
Yeah.
Or, wonderful. You know, you just need more pictures. It's another thing that I say. But well, I actually, you just reminded me that I do actually play with the idea of characters when I'm with, you know, an author or a businessman or whatever. Like we kind of are all playing a role in that moment.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. One thing that I tell people, especially when they're my age, you know, our age, is I say, you know what? When they say, oh, I'm horrible in front of the camera, usually something I'll say is something like, well, you know what? We're not like these kids growing up today that have been taking selfies since they were three. We're not supposed to be good in front of the camera. That's their generation. This is us. So just like to affirm the idea that, yeah, it's okay that you don't feel comfortable. It's okay. This isn't, we're not used to this. We're not in front of the camera all the time. So it's okay to not feel comfortable. And if you felt comfortable, then I'd kind of worry a little bit. But most normal regular people are not going to feel comfortable as soon as they step in. So that's where the subtleties of what we do come into play. Because you can't. How do you market that? I make people. You know, you can say that you make people feel really good in front of the camera, but really they have to. Everyone's different. So what works for one person isn't going to work for someone else. And just making sure that you can communicate that effectively, like, yeah, you're going to feel safe here is something that I find that I really need to pay attention to when I have new people coming into the studio. So, well, I have used up a lot of your time this morning and I want to respect that. And I know that we could probably talk about a lot, a lot more things, but I'm going to wrap it up. And I just want to ask you, could you share with my audience where they can find you and find your, see your beautiful work?
My website is julietlofaro.com. Mm-hmm.
Great. And do you have an Instagram presence or anything?
Yeah. Instagram is Juliet Lofaro Photo.
Okay. All right. You had was regular Juliet Lofaro taken?
No, I played around with it. It was Juliet Lofaro, but I kind of wanted to identify with the photo for a while. That's okay. Just what I did. And then I found another Juliet Lofaro, who is a 20-year-old Italian girl living in Paris.
She's living our secret life.
No, but nobody ever has my name. I'm very lucky that way.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. There's not a lot of Dory Howells out there. So I was able to get my website. Everything is pretty much, it's either Dory Howell or the Dory Howell on all the socials and everything. But there is, my maiden name was Dory Hamilton. So I think there was another Dory Hamilton. I do think there might be another Dory Howell I ran across who was a cake baker.
Oh, wow.
A while back. And I don't know anything about her, but I'm like, okay. So the other Juliet Lofaro is living it up in Paris, and the other Dory Howell is making cakes.
Nice.
Gotta love it so much. I love it so much. Well, Juliet, thank you so much for your time today. I really do appreciate it. And I also want to just do a special shout out to our sponsor, Enphoto. Listen to this special ad from them, and we will see you next time. This isn't going to surprise you. I love Enphoto, and they have so many beautiful products that I can offer my clients. One thing that they released 2 years ago were their 3x3 accordion albums that you could get in many different album covers with different embossing. I like the suede cover with a little simple embossing to give to my clients as thank yous. I don't sell these. I offer them as thank yous. But what they did this year, which I love so, so much, is they announced two new sizes of these accordion albums. You can get them in 5x5 and now 4.5x5 inch sizes. And the way that I picture looking at these, granted, they are pocket portfolios for your clients to share their sessions, which is beautiful, but these can be great, incredible pocket portfolios for you to carry around so that you have, at a moment's notice, a lightweight, easy way to show off your portfolio to people who might be interested, people that you run into in the coffee shop line, the grocery store, or at a family gathering, and they want to know what you do. You can pull these out and show them to you and show them your beautiful images in print. It's all about printing, and especially the 4.5x5 inch portrait sized mini album. I'm going to be ordering several of those. So you haven't checked these out yet. You really need to. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. Head over to enphoto.com and check those out today. Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dory Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time. Something came across my feed on my Instagram feed saying it was a coach. I made $1 million in the past 3 years with passive income. I'm like, no, you didn't. That's not passive income. You actively worked in a business, actively marketed a business. It was your sole source of income. That is not passive income. Stop telling people that earning a living is passive just because it's online. Right. That's not the truth. So I spoke about that. Mm-hmm. I put a thread out
about
that.
That's not the definition. It's
right.
I think you were somebody that I saw a few years ago who like spelled out like pricing.
Yeah.
Like, this is what a photo shoot covers. And it's just like, thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Like, if you're, first of all, with new photographers specifically, when I see a new photographer charging under $500, I'm like, you are not making any money. You're just not making any money. And then they get all offended and hurt that I how do I know that they're not making any money? Because guess what? A new camera is going to cost you the same amount that it's going to cost me. Insurance is going to cost you the same amount as it does. You're not getting a discount on equipment and business expenses because you live in rural Ohio. It costs the same.
Right.
Like all and I just did something about being a weekend warrior. Yeah, you can be a weekend warrior, and that's great. Knock yourself out, but don't be a cheap one, because
Yeah. Because please don't.
Your business expenses, whether you're in full-time or whether you're part-time, are the same. Cameras cost the same. Equipment.
Yeah, we have a lady cop in the next town who does cheap family portraits, and it's like a little infuriating.
Yeah. And I don't mind if you want to do high volume, but if you're only doing 3 sessions a month to supplement your family income and you're only charging a couple $100 a piece, you're not helping your family. Like you're
missing.
You're taking a you'd be better off just not having a camera at all because it doesn't work that way. But, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear it, and that's a gong I've been banging for a long time.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Educate the masses, Dory.